Are you excited about Jesus? If not, get excited. Make a plan. I don't know. But I am. I'm crazy about Him. And the more I love Him, the less I care what people think. And interesting, the more I love people. And yeah, I just pray a blessing over all of you and really hope that you can have that same passion in your heart. Now tonight I'm going to make a few hectic statements, but I'm doing it on purpose to invoke or provoke you to think and to challenge me if you want. I'm speaking on the supernatural, creating a context for the voice of God. Setting the context for the supernatural in our lives, because we need to sometimes think about how we see this and what we expect. Because like in any relationship, if expectations is not met, there's conflict, there's disappointment. Same with marriage. If you expect your partner to really, you know, live in a certain way or treat you in a certain way, that expectation is not met, we've got problems. We've got marriage problems, you know. And I'm just thinking of an example of my one friend. He's a boer. He's an Afrikaans guy from someplace like Kalkama or something. And he married a wonderful lady that loves Jesus, but she comes from Japan. It's the only problem. Okay? So they can't talk to each other. When they got married, they still struggle to communicate. And one or two things that he did that is really sweet in our culture really did not sit well with her. And she got offended with him. Because you see, expectations sometimes are different. Well, they had Christ as their common goal. So, I mean, they're getting along 5 years later. It's going great. But what are you expecting of the supernatural? What is your expectation of God's voice? I don't want you to be disappointed and offended with God. So I'm going to talk as straight as I can. And I'll start off. Hearing the voice of God is the easiest thing on earth. There's not a lot of things easier than that. And if you're offended with me right now, I'm okay with that. Hold on, because you're going to agree with me a bit later. It's not hard hearing the voice of God. Let's just take 5 steps back from everything. You know, we're a very specialized environment. We all specialize in different things. And when we go to the pulpit or something, we really get into it quite deeply because the congregation has got that capacity. Take 5 steps back. There's a God. He's got a plan for you, a plan for me to fulfill His plan, right? He's got a way to communicate that to us. Let's call it His voice. What He tells us. What He commands us. And He gets the message across to us because He is able. Okay? And then there's our life. And it either fits into what He's got for us or not. But the problem is not whether we will hear God's call or not. That is not the problem. Whether it comes to a person that's at a certain stage of his life, not saved, he will hear from God before he dies. God gives us that assurance. He assures us of that. When it comes to obedience, I want to say straight, you will hear the voice of God because God does not have a problem speaking. And I don't have a problem to hear, but I do have a problem to obey. That's another place. We're going to get there. I don't want to preach my whole sermon in the first 5 minutes because I'm so excited. Okay? But I do want to say is that tonight I'm not here to psych you up. I'm not going to do a dance. I leave that to Rehat. Thanks for that. I'm not going to try and psych you up and plead with you to follow God because He's awesome. And if you see that, you will run after Him yourself. And most of us here are already, okay? We're really following God as best we can, and I want to commend you for that, okay? So let's jump on this bandwagon together and just see what God has for us. Now, do not be confused. The next slide, Anel, please. Do not be tricked by this. Three out there crazy thinking, free out their crazy clothes. Random gestures that may sound weird must not be mistaken necessarily for the supernatural power of God. Don't be confused by the two. It might be, but it might not be. So sometimes you need to really consult with the Word and with God. Let me just use a typical Werner example, please. Victor Matfield. Oh, rugby again. He's a rugby player. Right. Every rugby player is not Victor Matfield. It's easy. Duh. But I say that because in the Dorpie where I grew up, we didn't have a lot of the supernatural. So everything that kind of looked freaky, I thought it must be God. I was so hungry to see something that's out of this world. I was so hungry to see, you know, something that I don't understand. And I remember like years ago, there was a story in the Huisgenoot, okay, of people that woke up one day and there was Jesus' face, a picture of his face against the wall. Do anyone recall that story? Yeah, it's Wendy. And I was like, whoa, God moves in mysterious ways. God lives. He's against the wall in someone's house and wow. You know, that may be his face, may not. That's not the point. My point was I was so hungry just to see something that's out of this world. That's weird. Something that I can't explain just for the hope that God is big. Now I'm here to tell you that He is. But don't be confused by anything. It's easy to spot supernatural power. Go to the local Sangoma. Yeah, it's easy, man. They do it the whole time. And the West, they try and argue against the supernatural power of God, but then there's a big problem. It's called Africa. And when we go into Africa, there's supernatural things happening the whole time. You know, and they'll sit and they'll speak things on you and you'll wake up the next morning and you can't feel your tongue or you can't speak or, you know, the supernatural is just there. Okay? But do we need to be able to divide the two and say, hey, this is from God. And this is not from God. And the reason why that is for us very applicable, and maybe we must watch out, because we say, I'm going to do this and this and this and this because God told me. And we create a mist, an area that's very gray, and it's called whatever you want because God told me. And we need to watch out for that. We need to watch to what works we ascribe to the Holy Spirit and whether it was really Him. And I hope by the end of tonight we can maybe be closer to really understanding when is this God, when is this a God moment, and when I must just take a step back and pray about this and ask someone about this. Are we together? Who knows what the mystic sees? It's not a pub. Okay? Since like old times, probably just after Christ left, the mystics have been around. They're a religious group of people, especially after the Reformation, after the close of the Roman Catholic Church closed. And for the first time, people were really running with the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. Everyone wanted a bite of the pie. So every guy with a revelation tried and gathered a few sheep and this guy ran. And one group was the mystics. And I'm just going to share one example. You'll get thousands. This one lady was called Catherine of Siena. And awesome name, man. And she led people because she could hear the voice of God speak to her audibly. That's what she said. And people followed her and admired her for that. And things would get stranger and stranger up to a point where she became the bride of Christ. She heard Jesus inviting her to be a bride. Her followers were like, hallelujah, our pastor or whatever, Catherine, is going to be Christ's bride. It ends up in, you know, stigmata, crucifying each other. You know, it's easy to find something crazy in this world. And in a way, it's not very appropriate for us, because I'm giving extreme examples, but I want us to be dead on, okay? Like 100%, hammer on the nail. So if there's a continuum and this is being right and that is being the mystics, we don't want to be here. We want to be on the nail, right? That makes sense. Now I want to show you a few pictures just to give you a mind shift. The first guy, his name is called Curry Blake. He looks like a farmer from down the road. I want to just show you a few normal people that is walking in the majestic supernatural power of God, so you can just see them as normal people. You could see us's face up there as well. This is Curry Blake. Normal guy. He's just obedient to scripture. Okay, you can Google him. He's got a healing ministry. Next guy there. Why am I skipping this? This one here is John G. Lake. Who has heard of him? Healing ministry, right? Massive, massive healing. Saw people rise from the dead. That guy, who knows who that is? Hey, Smith Wigglesworth. Used to heal people in interesting ways. Look at him, man. He looks like my opa. Okay? Angus Buchan. It's normal people obeying the word of God. Now, my point is not that you must look like Angus. Please don't come and cocky jacket and things. What I am saying, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how you speak. It doesn't matter if you know like certain words to create an atmosphere to move in the supernatural. What matters is whether you can obey God. We're going to get to that. And then the last one, obviously my favorite, you know, of course, I had to put it. You know, he does deliverance on a different way. You know, he's just like, No, when I worked with pictures, I had to put it up there. I knew he would understand. Because, any case, I knew this moment I was looking forward to. Any case. Now, we all know this, that the Holy Spirit equals the supernatural. Are we on par? We know that through the Holy Spirit we've got access into the secrets of God. We know that. But why did the Holy Spirit come? Because remember I said I want to paint a picture so that we can put the supernatural in context very specifically. John 14 verse 10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me and does His work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. Let's just pause for 1 second. The Father's in Jesus, Jesus is in the Father. We live to obey the Father. That's why we're here. We're going to be, whether we say it or not, we're just going to appear before the throne of God and we're going to give an account because we want to please the Father. But the Father and Jesus is one. So when we read about Jesus, when we behold Him, we are beholding the Father. Are we together? Next verse. Now Jesus speaks. This is now as like the Father speaks in a voice to the people. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. That is God the Father speaking. God the Father is saying, everyone that does the same works that my Son does, they are the ones who believe in me. And greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it plain simply. God is ready to put His money where His mouth is. You got plans to do the work of God? Ask for anything. He'll write a check. Speaking in figurative sense. Okay? He'll make it happen. And he goes on. Ask me for anything and I will do it. And then Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. This is the Father speaking through Jesus. If you love me, people on earth, if you really love me, you will do what my Son did. That's why I know that you love me. Now, the next slide. I was hoping that we could edit it on while it's on there, but we can't. Give me a few things Jesus did. Come on, what comes to mind? Healed the sick, prayed for the sick. One. Come on. He delivered people, casting out demons. He taught the word of God. He raised dead. He made food. He provided. Okay, anything else? We get it, right? Provided. He loved. He cared. He picked up the prostitutes from the floor. He was there for the week. Those are the things he did. So ask yourself, according to Jesus, if we believe in him, we are doing similar things. Okay? What did he command? What's a few of his commandments? Help me here. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that's awesome. Another one? Anything he commands? Go out into all the world, make disciples, discipling them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and behold, I will be with you always. What else did he command? He said, cast out demons. Anything else? Love God with all your heart and all your mind. Those are commands given to us through Jesus directly from the throne room of God. Are we together? Is it easy to do that? No. Sometimes, not always. Who will agree with me that sometimes this is extremely hard? Okay, some of us. Now, you know what they say? I love it. They say, the truth will set you free, but first, it will make you mad. Okay? Let me just get more water. I don't know what's happened. It's like I'm riding a race here. Thank you. I hope it's like apple pies or something. Right, now, stay in that mind. Please don't lose me. We're on the commandments of Christ. We're on the works of Christ. We want to do it because it's what the Father wants from us. If we do it, He's pleased with us. So Jesus goes on and he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Who is that? It's the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Jesus starts by making these massive statements, and he's almost asking of us, but it's not possible. I mean, who's raised the dead here? Well, maybe someone, because I know Sias and them had someone by the rave party or trance party. So there might be someone here, but it's not one of you guys. It's massive things. And then he says, I'm sending you a helper. To do what? Two things. To obey his commands, and to do his works. That's why the Holy Spirit came. When the Holy Spirit kicks in our lives, it always produces the works of Christ and us obeying the commands of Christ. That takes away a massive, big piece of mist that we create around the Holy Spirit. The music must just be right, and there must be a feeling. And at the end, we're so confused. If it leads you, if you spend time in worship, you pray in your tongue, which is very spiritual and what you must do, and you get a desire to do what Jesus did and a desire to obey his commandments, the Holy Spirit is working in you actively. If not, he's not working in you actively yet. Look at the next verse. He goes on along the same lines. I'm just skipping four verses. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. Because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. When we engage into the Holy Spirit, the outcome is easy. It's clear. We become like Christ. We don't become freaky. We don't freak people out. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. Okay? But do not try and be something except to be like Christ. Amen? The outcome is so easy. This is helping me a lot. When I read this, I'm like, whoa, bring it on. I want to be like Christ. I don't know how, but I've got a helper. So it's changed the way I've prayed to the Holy Spirit. I'm praying now, help me to be more like Christ. Because many times in my life, I see that specific opportunity that requires a man to step up and I take a step back because it's too big for me on that moment. And I'm saying, Holy Spirit, help me. I want to be like Christ. I'm still so far, but I think I know where I want to go. This is not a sermon of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so bear with me. If you really want to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how it works, please, Foundation 1, or come and see us at the office. I'm not going to go into that. But I want to just say that statement right now. Every gift of the Holy Spirit, what Kara and those people are doing in intercession, when God speaks, firstly, when you pray, you are doing what Jesus did, number one. You're doing a work that He did. And He also said, pray for all men. So by praying itself, that's a good start. If you pray and visions and words and dreams, everything comes back to doing what Jesus commanded, getting the lost saved, getting the sick healed, and doing His work. There's no other explanation for it. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Now, I'm going to have 6 supernatural notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that if you can try and remember it, will help you. The whole thing, the mist, this is the king. I want to spell it out. There's a king. His name is God. He's forever. He's got a plan. He sends a helper so that we can accomplish His plan, which is what you said. The things Jesus did, pray for the sick, cast out demons, cared, provided food, loved. It's specific commands. There's a king, he gives a command, the servants does it. Nothing misty about that. It's quite clear. Amen? So He gives us a helper for a specific job description. We can actually write it out. We can write down the things Jesus did, a long list, and what He commanded. We can go out in the city, and we can do it in love and worship towards Him, and we will change this place. Okay, let's move on. Number 2, the voice principle. Very easy. I know a few light bulbs will go on here. What happens is Jesus has got this massive crowd following Him. Multitudes. I mean, He is, for some of them, it's like entertainment. They're like, what's He going to do next? What's He going to do next? Whoa. One piece of bread and 2 fish. Look at that. What's He going to do next? And everyone's like going after Him. And they're like so excited. And then He speaks and He says, you want to have part of me? Eat. You will never hunger again. But now I want you, game on the park. I want you to eat of me. Become part. More, I want you to drink. Because the water I'm giving you will never thirst. Now again, that's Jesus speaking. Will you agree with me that's God's voice? Are we together? God's voice? Jesus is God, they're one. You know what happened? At that point, that next verse, at that point, many of His disciples turned away and deserted Him. That was just after He said, I didn't want to like all that list of scriptures because it's getting too long. Just after He said that, He spoke the truth. It was God's words unto the people on their ears. Many turned away and deserted Him, and He asked the 12, are you also going to leave? Luckily, they said no. My point is this. Do not think the trick is hearing God's voice. They did. They heard it. He said, eat of me. That is how you can live eternal life. And then He said, drink of me. They heard it. Hearing the voice means, I almost said, now nothing. It doesn't mean nothing. Hearing it without obeying it means nothing because it might mean that you're worse off. Remember the example teens get about the 10 people that got healed? One came back. Now those who are healed, are they worse off or are they better off? One could argue they're worse off because they've seen the glory of God. They've seen it. They felt it. I mean, they were like, they had a problem. That problem is gone and they're still rejected. So they can actually be worse off. Hearing the voice of God is not the trick. He speaks to us the whole time. Open the Bible. Open the Bible. See what Jesus did. See what He's commanded. It's challenging me every day. I'm being honest. I don't want to run ahead of myself. He speaks, and hearing is not the trick. Obeying is. Many heard Him. I want to give a tip, and I'm giving it unto myself, so I'm being very honest. If you read the teachings of Jesus and you know that you will never do it, I'm not talking about if you're scared or if you feel it's too big, because I feel like that most of the time, just being very honest. Praying for the dead? Whoa, scary, okay? I don't like dead people. I rather take them alive. But if you know you're not interested in doing the will of God, written in Scripture, don't pray that God must speak to you. Honestly, because He's going to say the same things. He's going to say, see that person over there? You give them a hug. Witness to them. Tell them about Me. Pray for them. And then give them something to eat. And do it tomorrow again. That is the works that Jesus did. If you feel that when you read the stuff that Jesus did and what He commanded, and there's something in you that jumps up, you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Because the Scripture says the Holy Spirit comes alongside us and testifies of Jesus. So when you read of Jesus and there's a warmth in your heart, like, man, this is my Savior. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. He's saying, love Him. He's creating love in you to Jesus. Because we cannot love Him of ourselves. The second principle, or the second note, is the voice principle. The voice is not the trick. It's written, and it still gets spoken. If we read it and we're not prepared to do it, don't ask for the voice. It's going to say exactly the same. Are we together? Amen. I just want to say that we are allowed to tell God where we're at. And you know, sometimes when I had a fight with my wife, I don't feel like praying for anyone. I'm just being honest. And I need to tell God, you know, I don't feel like praying for anyone right now. I'm so unChrist-like, I feel unsaved. But that's okay. You know, we're still human. And that is part of it. Because there comes in another part of God, again, a whole new teaching about drawing near to God out of a place of feeling empty, out of a place of feeling depressed. There's also a time where you will need someone to minister to you now. That is okay. Don't be condemned about that. Okay? Don't be condemned about that. That's okay. That's just human. I'm talking about overall here. So please, I don't expect of you to be a machine or something, a light that can be switched on or off. Because I'm not like that now. I'm just human. Okay. So we can pray and say, God, help me also to desire what You want me to do. Help me with that desire. I mean, we all know that. Who are on missions this year? There's a few of you that were on missions. You know, every time you're like, man, only 2 weeks, 8,000 rand. Talk to them when they come back. They will leave the next day again, go back to that place. Sometimes we must just take that first step. And you see, you'll actually love doing the work of God. It is amazing. It's amazing leading someone to Christ. There's nothing like it. But we become estranged to that feeling when we don't do it often enough. So I want to encourage you, get where people is getting saved. And make sure you get your hand on them as well. You know? Because we forget that feeling. It's amazing. To do the will of God is such a blessing. And it's just interesting how your whole life then just falls into place. Now, something very interesting. Can I get 5 people up here quickly with Bibles? Mietling, if you can do Matthew 22:37. Estelle, can you do Philippians 4:4? Neil, can you do 1 Corinthians 9 for me? I'll tell you now the verse. One more person. Romans 12:20. Okay. Now, just get that scriptures along. We get a specific helper. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he's here so that we can do what Jesus did and do as he commanded. So the Holy Spirit comes into that context and his specific job is to assist us in doing that. I want to show you how glorious God has planned this thing. If you go to Galatians 5:20, it says, and the fruit of the Spirit is, and then it starts. And it lifts the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Nietzsche, I said Matthew 22, verse 20, verse 37, right? Read two verses for us, yeah.
37 and 38. And 9. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love. Love God, love people. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Put the Holy Spirit in you. He produces love so that you can love God, love people. He does the work. The Holy Spirit comes specifically to perform the work of Christ. Who did I ask to do Philippians 4 verse 4?
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice.
It's not easy to rejoice when you don't have money, right? It's not easy to rejoice when your car is in for the third time in 1 month. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit is in you, something gets produced automatically. Because he's the Spirit. The second fruit is joy. So you can be joyful without being fake. Because the Holy Spirit is producing in you what he is. He is joy. What was the next one? Philippians 4 verse 7. Oh, that's also for you, Stel, because it's the same place. Okay, we will go back to that one. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 25 to 27.
Right. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
You don't run aimlessly. You're not like shabara babara babara babara, you know, like, well, what must I do? Oh, there's a vision of a sun and there's a vision of the moon and, okay, this doesn't mean anything. And you're like, okay. We're there for a purpose. So the Holy Spirit comes and produces specifically what is required of us. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it freeing? You know, we don't run like someone that runs aimlessly. We don't punch in the air. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life and we pray, we hit the knockout punch. Because we get it right. Because we know where we're hitting towards. We're hitting towards loving people. Bang. We're hitting towards testifying. Bang. We're hitting towards praying for someone that's sick at your workplace. Bang. We're not like, oh, what must I do? What must I do? That would be doing it aimlessly. So sometimes, and I love what this one guy said, thank you, Ewald, for giving me the DVD. Sometimes we must read the Bible as if you're sitting on an island and no one has interpreted any of it for you. Because when I say Holy Spirit, you think F1, you think all these things. And when you read about Jesus, the first time he speaks about the Holy Spirit, he says, if you love me, you will do my commandments. If you believe in me, you will do our works. And then he says, I'm going to give you a helper. What other function has the Holy Spirit but to help you accomplish the word of Christ through your life? It becomes clear.
On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay, I'm not going to go through the same story again. But the Holy Spirit produces in us exactly what is required of us. Isn't it amazing? It's like you need to come from point A to point B. God gives you a car or a jet. Just something to get the job done. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. And he's our friend. And he is so gentle. And we can, it's important to know that he's God, but we can in a way resist him. Don't. He's the one that produces in us what God wants from us. God made provision. That's the third note. The Holy Spirit personifies God's will. What God requires, He provides. The implication is actually very good there, because it means that if you read the Bible and you see something, you can say, Holy Spirit, that, help me with that, please. That verse right there, that's so not me. And like, oh, this verse about loving people, thanks for helping me, because, you know, at this stage, I really love people, and I know it's only start, but thank you, because I can see your fruit in me there. But that one there, about forgiving, oh, I'm just struggling so much with that. So really producing me so that I can be what is required of me. Very practical. Very powerful. Oh, this is a good one. Next one. Should I wait for a leading? Should I wait for the Holy Spirit to lead me in doing specific things? I'm not going to do the voting thing, but I'm very tempted to. Now, as a church, as Shofar, and personally, brandly speaking, we believe in the Holy Spirit coming on board in a full throttle way. He can produce the most amazing things in us and through us. Words of wisdom, gifts of healing, works of miracles. He can do all these things. But when we speak about being led by the Spirit, we must make sure about our preconceived ideas of what we are talking about. Because what do you mean when you say, I must first be led by the Spirit before I move? Let me say it straight. If you are talking about an outside feeling or an arbitrary voice that leads you, no. No. You can't wait for a feeling or a word to do the will of God always. And I'll explain to you a simple example. If I've got 100, if I'm the king, I'm God, and I've got 1,000 packets of food, and I'm God and I'm saying, go and give this food to those who are hungry. And I say, Andrew, come here with your car, load it up, there you go. Go and distribute. Now Andrew goes, he's at door number one. He's like, he wants to knock, he's like, God, should I give this person food? Yes, Andrew, give all them that are hungry the food. Okay. Then the next door before he knocks, like, God, should I give this person food? Yes, to everyone that's hungry. And we take all this time praying about what it's already said we must do. We cannot be led by our feelings alone. We need to follow Jesus sometimes with or without a feeling. I used to go on feelings a lot. But let me give you the problem with feelings. They're so random. And I'm not even a girl, man. No, think about this for 1 second. You're like, I'm not on this whole feeling thing. So now Stefan and his lovely fiance is like, 1 month before they get married, and they had this lovely romantic dinner and there's candles, and what do you think are they feeling at that moment? You physically attracted to that person. Okay? You can laugh at me, you all know it's true. You can't go on feeling. It is too shaky and flaky. We need to move sometimes on what the commander has told us to do. So, should you minister with or without the leading? Yes. If there's someone that needs prayer, you don't pray and ask God, must I pray for this person? You pray. You know, sometimes when we tell people, hey, you must really stop sinning and follow God, they say, don't judge me. That is not judgment. That is preaching the gospel, what is true. If he is sick and I am deciding whether I'm going to pray for him or not, then I'm judging. Because Jesus prayed for everyone. Even those who didn't return, even those before they were saved, they didn't even follow him, man. He would go out and pray for the prostitutes, even if he knows he's going to do what they're going to do when the guy takes him away. So when Jesus said, pray for the sick, you and I have no place of deciding whether I should pray for this one or that one. And that's why there's one guy, actually the one on the picture, he says he loves training military men in the gospel. Because they know that a command has got a leading within the command. When the general has spoken, you don't ask again, you just do until the command is changed. Which has happened in scripture. Think about this. Because I'm saying I'll do scripture, right? So God is speaking to Noah, there's a flood coming. Now you take your Bible, you tell your friend, there's a flood coming. That's not going to work, okay? Because we all know, we all can watch a movie, so we all can read scripture. We know that if one thing is past, it's past. Okay? So I'm talking about new covenant, Christ coming in the atonement. Everything that's in the atonement is freely for all. What's the atonement? It's the price that the blood of Christ paid for every soul. Okay, the cross is not half. So every soul can hear the gospel of God. Do you agree with me? But is healing in the atonement? Did Christ's blood pay for healing or not? So can I decide who gets it or not? No. I don't know what the outcome is going to be when I pray every time. I don't know. But I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'd rather pray for 10 people and not one gets healed. And then God is not going to tell, hey, Varna, why did you pray for all the sick people, man? You shouldn't have. Okay? I'd rather pray and say, Lord, I failed terribly. But what did I do wrong? And I'm going to give you an example now. Now I want to say, if you get a desire to do it, man, isn't that awesome? Do it, man. And now I'm going to just show you guys a specific situation where the Holy Spirit does come in and give a special leading. If you, firstly, there's no scriptural references, and I studied this under people that know more than me, that we must wait for the Spirit. If you and I want to wait for the Spirit, you know where you must go and wait? In Jerusalem, in the upper room. It's the only place where you must wait for the Spirit. He's here. Jesus said, yes, I want you to do the Great Commission, but just first, before you go out, just go to that room, because I'm going to deposit something in you, and then you're going to do the Great Commission better. Okay? The Holy Spirit came, they went out, bang. Now, Acts 16, verse 6. Look at this example. So now Paul and Silas traveled through the area of whatever that is, and Galatia, and because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time, then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed up north for the promise of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of the Lord did not allow them to go there. Okay? Check the situation out. So there is Paul, seeing miracles every day. People get healed. People come to God, thousands. And he's done with one town. So he says to Silas, Chokriki, Appy, let's go. We're going for Asia. Hey, we've got a big commission, eh? We need to do what Jesus said. So let's take the next town. And so they go to Asia. Bam! The Holy Spirit stops them. No. They get the vision, they go to Macedonia. Now, what happened? Did the Holy Spirit say, Paul, go to Asia? And he said, yes. So he goes, oops! The Holy Spirit said, I made a mistake, Paul. I got confused. Rather go to Macedonia. No. The Holy Spirit can't get confused. So it shows us clearly that Paul was walking and working on the Great Commission. It wasn't so much important for him where he was going, but it was important what he was doing. Declaring freedom to the captives, praying for the sick, doing the work of God. And as he was going, the Holy Spirit comes and gives what we can call a super leading. Okay? He says, Paul, I want you to fulfill the Great Commission. I want you to pray for the sick. But for reasons that maybe you don't have to know now, go to that place. Obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Obey Him. because he's leading you in a specific way to go. And the question was never, should Paul minister the gospel? No. No, that was not the question. Jesus said, go and minister, make disciples. And as he was going, he got specific instructions where to go. And the Lord worked in a miraculous way. They saw a vision and this other man had the vision. And the Holy Spirit came in such a beautiful way and just tied it all together. I'm telling you, you can do Scripture. And as you do Scripture, let the Holy Spirit lead you in miraculous ways to do the work of God. But you do not have to wait necessarily for a leading. If there's a need, you may respond. You may move. You may say, I want to pray for you because my God is great. Can I pray for your sickness? I'm not the healer, but I want to pray for you and I want to pray for your family as well. Okay? And maybe one day, just to give another example, you set the day out to go to the park and pray for people and God says, no. Go to the hospital today. You say, okay God, I'm going to do your work at the hospital. Can you see how the Holy Spirit comes in and guides us? And sometimes He will lead us the whole time. But you and I do not have to wait for a leading necessarily. Because like the packets of food, the leading is in the command given by Christ. If you love me, you will do my commandments. So, another law. Do unto others as you want done unto yourself. Right? We're talking on the voice of God. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Now, do you do that only when you feel led to do that, or do you do it as a rule? Do you see someone sitting in next to the road and they look hungry, and maybe your heart immediately says, if I was sitting there, I would like something to eat. So you do unto him as you would like done unto yourself. That law stands whether of how you feel, whether you have prayed at intercession or not. You do unto him as you would have done unto yourself. If you think Jesus is the greatest treasure in your life ever, and you see someone you know, they don't know him, you can go and share with him without feeling a specific unction of the Spirit saying, okay? Because if you think that someone that shared the gospel with you was the most amazing thing, you can do unto him as was done unto you. And you're fulfilling the Great Commission. And the Holy Spirit. And then you pray. And then you say, Holy Spirit, I'm not asking whether I must do the Great Commission because I know, but I'm asking that you will help me. I'm asking that you will give me words of wisdom. I'm asking that you will give me a love for that person that he has never seen. I pray that you will be my helper in doing what I'm commanded. Hearing the voice of God is not hard. Obeying it is extremely hard. Amen? I'm going to use a term here, and specifically here to make you mad, or think at least. The term I want to use here is mechanical obedience. I've heard another preacher use it and it shocked me. And what he was saying is if God's people is mechanically obedient to Christ, the supernatural follows. You think, Yahweh, you know what, you're not spiritual because I pray before I go out. That's good to pray, and I also pray. It's like vanity. You're not spiritual enough. We must rely more on the Holy Spirit. I'm saying yes. You know when I have to rely on the Holy Spirit a lot? And I walk down the road and God says, pray for this man. Because then I remind about the word. I'm like, whoa. Must I do it or must I not do it? I must do it. But now, when I go to him and I put my hands on him and say, I want to pray for your sickness, suddenly I have to rely on the Holy Spirit like never before. Because I cannot heal this man. Now the Holy Spirit was not maybe so involved in me making the decision because Christ already said it. But now the Holy Spirit must come and work. So I end up praying for 10 times more people than what I was prayed before when I felt I had to be led because I used it as an excuse not to go. I didn't go at lunchtime at office because I didn't feel led. But now the love of Christ compels me to go. And we go to the station and we pray. And sometimes they don't get healed and sometimes they do. But I know what I need to do. I don't have the power. I don't know how. And I say, Spirit, help. Am I shocking a few people tonight? I hope it makes sense, though. Every soldier, I like just the army, man, knows that when a command is given, you carry on with that command until a new command is given. You carry on with it. And we've got a helper, remember? God requires love. He is love. God requires self, perseverance, and discipline. He is that. So as we go and everything, every step closer to Christ, He comes directly behind us like a wind from behind and He says, go, I'm helping. Go, I'm helping, because you're doing what Jesus said. You're doing what I said. It's the same people. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, one. The Holy Spirit cannot speak contrary to Christ. Hey, He might tell you, don't go on the first night and tell the guy he must repent. Do it tomorrow. Because today maybe you can win the relationship with him and you can testify tomorrow. That's a special leading. Your heart is still to testify. I've got a guy I'm riding bike with. And I've been riding bike with him for 3 months. And I have not nailed the hammer straight down. But we're becoming closer. I know exactly where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going with this. But I'm receiving a special leading and he's inviting me over for Bryce. And he said, come eat at my house. And I know I'm getting closer to the point. And when the day is right, I'm going to put my foot down. And I say, you know God has been speaking to you all this time. And he's going to say, yes, that's a special leading. Because I know I'm going to, the question is not whether I'm going to testify. I'm going to. But the Holy Spirit is helping me with wisdom. Okay? Can you see the difference between the two? A command does not need a leading. The leading is in the command. Mechanical obedience to Jesus produces many works. Like I said, I'm praying for 10 times more people than before. Because I just take the word literally and I do it. Should I pray for all people that are sick? If you coming to the front and you say, pray for me, how can I say no? I can't. Because Jesus asked me to. So I'm giving you my word. If you ever come to me and say, listen, pray for me, I must pray, but I want to pray. At a stage, I must pray, I had to, but now I want to because the Holy Spirit is in me. You should have the same mind. If there's someone that needs prayer, you pray. Let God do the other deciding. We don't pray for 2 weeks whether we should witness to someone. We should witness. Let the Holy Spirit help with how. On the voice of God. The voice already told you do it. Let Him help you with a how. Let Him help you with the specifics. And tell Him about the problems you have. Tell Him with how you struggle with this person, that He must really come and generate love in you and lay all your problems before you and He will help you. Because Jesus said, I send you a helper. Do my commands and to do what I did. Amen. The last one. Second last one. This is a good one. Sometimes you and I must develop a reputation. Okay? We must develop a reputation. Just like on earth. You just know. You don't mess with Bucky's Buddha. You don't do it. You don't tell him your master did or so. Okay? Right? You just don't do it. It's a stupid thing because he's got a reputation. He'll rip your head off. Okay? In the same way, you have a reputation in the heavenlies, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. Easy. Remember that story? In the name of the God of Paul, out. We know who Paul is. The demons replied, he's got a reputation, but who are you, man? And I'm asking you, what is your reputation? And it comes down to this one thing. When there's something standing between you and the will of God, are you standing or are you running? That is what the reputation comes down to. Maybe you're psyched up after tonight and you go and pray for someone and you get backed it horribly. That's okay. It happens to me every week. But I have to psych myself up to go and stand again in front of that same spirit and say, I'm not backing off. Because I want to develop a reputation on this earth that when I come to do business, I finish it. And that's what some of us here needs to do. You need to tell that depression demon that you mean business. Because he is laughing every time you're turning around, like, running away. You need to face him in the eye. You need to speak to him. And this is a word from God. He says, I give you the authority. Stand. So when it comes to the commands of Christ, that God the Father will love us if we do, that's what the word says, that is required of us, it gets difficult. I'm motivating you to stand. Go back, pray again. Esty, this week, I shared with her on my sermon and I said, give me feedback. Okay, because this is quite a, you know, I'm offending a few people here. I'm not okay. I don't worry if I offend you. Because if I'm wrong, I'll repent. And I'll do it. I'll do it from the pulpit as well. But I was sharing the sermon with her. And she's like, it helps me so much. Because I pray 4 days about things that Jesus already said. 2 hours later, she sends me a BB message. She says, I prayed for someone that didn't get healed. I said, well done, sister, you were obedient. She says, yes, I was obedient and I feel great. Okay? 4 hours later, she BBM'd me again. She says, Anna, there was another person. She got healed. She stood the ground. What would I do? Yeah, I don't know if I'm the one that should pray for the sick. Maybe I must phone CS. I bake cookies. That's what I do. No, stand. Stand your ground. They actually took steps from this one healing ministry. They took steps in churches of how many people got healed. The churches that went that really bad, 10% of the people got healed. 1 in 10. Some of the churches that was really into trusting the Lord and worshiping Him as healer, got close to 70%. But think about it. If 1 in 10 people is going to get healed when you pray for them, will you carry on if you get to number 9 and they still laugh at you? And what if your success rate stays at 10%? And every time when you pray for someone, there's people gathering around. What's going to happen here? I'm going to check the leg. Because that's what happened in public. It happened to me and I failed miserably. But am I going to stand? That's the question to me as well, and it scares the daylight out of me. But I'm using healing as a massive example because it's like out there. But what about the personal attacks on your life? What about when you want to worship Christ and there's something telling you you won't? You depressed thing. You don't deserve to be in God's presence. You don't deserve to be in God's presence because you did this and this. You're like, okay, yeah, I'll leave you, and you go back. Stand your ground. Develop a reputation. So that when you say, go in the name of Jesus, they run. And it's speaking about the grit. It's speaking about a harakwasheid. Okay? And when I say this, it might seem that I'm describing this man like this. You know? You know, there's a study that does a healing deliverance ministry. She speaks like this. She's like, jy sal nou gaan in Jesus' naam. Bang! Delivered. You will go in the name of Jesus, you that speak that nonsense, boof, immediately. It's not about being a man with a beard. It's about standing your ground. She understands. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit would knock on your door tonight and tell you, Gerda, I want you to testify for me. But 1 in 10 people will laugh at you. Will you testify? That's the question I put out to all of you. 1 in 10 will follow Christ. Because remember, many forsook Him as well. He said, partake in my body, partake in my blood. They walked away. They will walk away from you. They will laugh. They will Facebook about you. They will phone people and say, oh, you're such a nar. Yes, it happens. They will vergiftig, they will take your dogs out with poison, like they did with Pastor Fred. Yeah? find the dogs dead. They will phone your house in the middle of the night. But it scares me, eh? But you know what? If God is for me, who can be against me? And I'd rather be with God. I want to stand. I'm not saying I'm standing here, but I want to stand. And we are raising up an army of people that's willing to stand. Stand when... And that's why I wanted you guys. I said, don't sit down. Because sometimes someone is standing in front. They need someone to stand for them. They need someone to say, if you don't pray for me now, I'm not going to make it. Stand up and help me. So I need people to help me stand. And I know you as well. But develop your reputation. Amen? Because you have a name in the heavenlies. You have a name. So my fifth point is your grit will be tested. Or your stiff-neckedness. Are you willing to stand? This is what I'm thinking of last time, the last few weeks. You know who you don't want to fight with on the street? Doesn't matter how we look, big or small. You never want to fight with a guy that loves to fight. He loves to fight. You can beat him, he can bleed, he'll just say, and he'll come back at you. Become that guy. Love a fight with the devil. Not to go and look for him and take on principalities, but over your own life, you need to be able to lift a finger and say, under my roof, this is how it's going to be. This is basics of Christianity. Basics. Our marriages won't last if we can't do that. We won't make it. No one will get saved. We won't make it. We'll get taken out. We need to say, under my roof, this is the rules. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're not going to try and figure out everything. We're going to do God's will. As for me and my house, my job is not here to speak badly and criticize other churches. My job is to get the job done on earth, to produce the work of Christ. And for that, I will get a lot of opposition. And everything that stands between you and God's will is the devil. Stand. Stand your ground. And I think it becomes easier. Lead that first person to God. Lead that first one to the Lord. You will be so psyched up. The second one will come easier. The third one will come easier. So you need to gain momentum. And sometimes you have to say, that's why God sent them two by two. And I know some of us are lonely. I know we're a church and we're all together and you go back home and you're on your own. Don't be alone. Two by two is the way to go. But sometimes you have to say to someone, stand behind me. Because I've got something and I need to stand here. Because if I run away now, I'm back in that cycle from the beginning. And by the way, that's how you speak. If you've got a problem with pornography, if you've got a problem with doing things you're not supposed to do, if you've got a problem with smoking and drinking and stuff that God has already spoken to you about, your body is not yours. It's God's. And you don't treat those kind of things with conversations about it, and this is how you feel. You shut your door and you stand. Saying, with my body, this does not happen. No way. Okay, and you phone someone and say, listen, this is the prayer I just prayed. I'm taking control over my body, and this body will worship God. I'm standing this ground. End of story. Okay? Last slide. Acts 1 verse 8. Please read with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And why have you received power? Why has the Holy Spirit come? Anyone help me? To be a witness. If you are witnessing, you are walking in the Spirit today. Because you are doing what He is sent to do. Yes, there's a place of worship, personal consecration. You go out from that place. If you have a heart and you are busy sharing what God has done in your life, you are what we call, in religious terms, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is people that testify. I don't care if you are an Anglican bishop and you say, or you say, I don't believe in the power of the Spirit. Maybe some of them do. If you testify, the Holy Spirit is working through you. Because he produces that. I've heard a story about this one man, and he said, yeah, I'm not going with this Holy Spirit thing. I'm not going for this Holy Spirit thing, but I want more of God. So this charismatic guy said, okay, Lord, give me more of you. Shabarababa, right there. If you want more of God, you'll get his Spirit. That's how it works. Whether you pray, fill me with the Spirit, or whether you say, Lord, give me more, you'll get it. And if you testify to someone at work, if you do anything that the work of the works that Christ did and he commanded, you are walking in the Spirit. Okay? You can do it by the flesh and get tired if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to help you, refresh you, to lead you, to give you strength. Okay, we do it by the Holy Spirit, but some of us are so worrying. Am I doing what God wants for me alive? And I don't hear his voice. And you really want to serve him. I'm telling you, if you are doing the work of God, you are walking in the Spirit. It's only the devil that wants you to lie awake at night and not get sleep and be tired and be miserable with your boyfriend or be miserable at work. Get your heart in the work of God. Ask Holy Spirit, help me to do this even better. Help me to heal that person the next time I pray for them, the first time, not the fourth time. Help me to do it better. You are moving in the Spirit. If you've got a heart for the lost, you already have the heart of Christ in you. Now you must just move. Bit by bit. Okay? Stand your ground. When you get, and this is where I hope to help a few people. Let me help you tonight. If there's something in the Word and you feel, I must do this. I'm just going to speak to that girl. And something happens that prevents you and you just can't do it and your throat closes down. God's will did not change. It's an opportunity for you to stand and follow through. Get someone to pray for you. Take this thing in the Spirit. Take authority over your life. Read the Word, proclaim it over your life, and go and do it. Okay? In the meantime, we have this wonderful intercession team with Cara and the people that pray that the Holy Spirit comes and give us supernatural leading on the specifics. And it always comes down to the work of God. The work of God. Because we don't just want to run around like aimlessly. And that's why we have church. God is into warships. He's not into little boats. That is next to nothing. One guy rowing a little canoe. Hey, I know Jesus. Hey, I've got a vision. The enemy just flicks you over. God is into battleships. That's why we are here on one ship. You see, this is a ship. And there's some of the people that helped to direct this ship in the intercession. We're going to turn a bit this way. Yeah, guys, are we all on board? We're turning this way. Next time we're taking Galicia, we're all going together. So you're not like, okay, I'm going to Constantia this weekend and then I'm going to Stellenbosch and now we're all in our little thing. That's why we say we're going to do the Great Commission, but in the church we go together because we're going to go do the Great Commission properly. As army, together. And when we decide on a place, we go in there and we shoot that place that there's nothing left. That's why we have church, because you might have thought, yeah, okay, so I'm going to just do this. No. Bring your gift in here for the edification of all of us. And let us be the body. I mean, this can be 50 sermons with all the little things I've added together, so forgive me for that. But I'm going to finish off. Hearing the voice of God is not the most difficult thing in the world. Would you agree with me? Being obedient is not always easy. You can agree with me on that as well. It's hard for me. A lot. Because we go out here and it's almost like what we feel in here fade away, man. It's like, was that real what I felt? And then church actually happens out there, not in here. And then we come back after a week of sometimes taking shots. We come back after being laughed at. And maybe there was a victory and it was like this next week. And then we come in here and God just like putting his grace over all of us. And we're like, oh man, we're refreshed again. I can do this again. Will you pray for me? Because this week this happened and I'm not sure if I handled it correctly. But I'm all for doing what God did. But I need some guidance. Yes, I'll pray with you. Let's do this. Amen. Can we get the band and just worship God? And just, can we...